Everybody, welcome to a Tuesday Sports Line, the Bulldog Hour. Kevin Hoy alongside, as always, we'll take you to three, hand it off to our great friend Phil Bonatti, his outstanding show behind the bench, the full 3 hours today. Then the white-hot, sizzling, I can't even get through it, San Francisco Giants. I've tried, ladies and gentlemen, again, in the immortal words of the late, great, former poet laureate of the NBA, Michael Ray Richardson, the ship be sinking, ladies and gentlemen. I don't know if it's Vitello's fault or the fact that the Giants just don't have enough talent or they're in the wrong division, but whatever it is, it hasn't been good so far. We'll see what happens against the D-backs, who continue to beat the Giants like a rented mule. We'll see how it works out tonight, and we'll also have the NBA tonight for you over on 790. I'll tell you all about the schedule for both stations a little bit later on, courtesy of Ed Dunkel and his terrific business, Precision Civil Engineering. He reminds you about it every day. Planning, land surveying, civil engineering, landscape architecture, construction management. It's all there under one roof. More information, 449-4500 or precisioneng.net. We'll go over the schedules later on and tell you about the great fundraising that Ed does through the Lyles College of Engineering for his alma mater, Fresno State. Jackson with me, as always, on a Tuesday. Our DeFacto co-host will be up momentarily. We'll go to your emails, tdad1@att.net, TDAD, the number one, at att.net. I'm going to say this, I mentioned it last week as well. I'm back in the mode here. It's going to happen throughout the summer and into the fall, where I've got, again, some orthopedic surgical procedures with the hip, the two knees, and all the stuff I beat up like an imbecile when I was a younger man, and I'm paying for it now, big time. So, as my wife reminds me every day, if I want to know who's to blame for this, just look in the mirror. And I've told her the problem is when I look in the mirror, I don't see a reflection. That's another issue. I know it's my fault, and I'm dealing with it the best I can. But what it means is I can see your emails because I've got the 17-inch laptop. I can't respond to your emails because they have taken my phone from me, because I'm always on the net on the phone, and that's how I could respond. I'm not going to try to hold a 17-inch computer over my head and have it fall on me. So I can see what you guys are saying. I can address it over air. I can't get back to you guys privately. This has happened from time to time the last few years. But I do want to thank great friends like Robert here in town, Bill P. I appreciate that email. Eddie Hughes, thanks, Eddie, for your email. Buddy Gary up in Atwater, I want to get back to you when I can. Gino, always reading every email you send me, Paisan. So for all of you that have sent in the emails that I haven't been able to get to over air, I'm still reading them, and hopefully at some point in the foreseeable future, I will get all of this stuff resolved one way or another. Okay, whether it's moving forward or 6 feet under, we're going to get this figured out at some point. But I thank you guys for emailing in, and I'll go over some of the emails, those from Damon and Martine with Jackson, in just a couple of minutes. But before we get there, other lead dogs, I want to spend some time with you, beginning with our friends at Lee's Air Plumbing, Heating, and Roofing. Find them at 825-5337, which is 825-Lee's, or leesair.com on the web, where you can schedule your appointments. Terrific local people. They have been in NorCal and Central California since 1981. You see the avocado green and blue trucks all over the place. As far as the forecast goes, you know, we were talking about this several weeks ago. I had mentioned that we've had these blistering hot Memorial Day weekends, particularly when it used to be regional time for the NC2As in baseball. That, of course, has changed because they not only added the super regionals, but they pushed the whole schedule back a week. So now Memorial Day, as was the case this last weekend, really still for conference tournaments. But we've had unbelievably hot Memorial Day weekends. And then I mentioned that softball, which would have its regional the week before, at times we would be with gloves and stuff on because we happen to get a cold snap. This is one of the all-time seasonably cool end of May issues, if you want to call it that. 74 today with gusts from 20 to 30 miles an hour, with the winds in the west side of the valley in particular. A low at 52, for goodness sake. A 73 tomorrow, an actual chance of spotty showers in addition to opportunities in the next 24 to 48 hours for thunderstorms and maybe light snow up in the Sierras. So this is a very unseasonal forecast for us. And we'll go 76 on Thursday after the 73 tomorrow. Then we start to recover 82 on Friday, 86 on Saturday, and then back to normal, or actually maybe a little bit below, a 90 on Sunday and 94 on Monday as we cross over to June. So all I can tell you is if you enjoy the cooler weather, enjoy this right now. For people like me, as I've said before, the hotter the better. If I had my preference, we'd all live in a kiln right now. That's all I'm telling you, because the warmer weather, hotter weather means the joints hurt a lot less. Again, that comes from being a doddering old man, which, again, if I would have known I was going to live this long, I would have taken better care of myself. Anyway, appreciate our buddies at Lee's Air Plumbing, Heating, Roofing for allowing us the time to tell you about the weather. Again, leesair.com, 825-5337, 825-LEES. They also sponsor the Lee's Air Hotline. Jackson is waiting patiently on that line right now as he throws things all around his office saying, do not let me wait any longer. I'm Jackson Moore, damn it. This is how he talks all the time off air. But again, that number, mark it down for the Lee's Air Hotline, because you can call Phil and get your input over air, 559-320-1430. The final reminder comes courtesy of another longtime friend and a longtime benefactor at Fresno State, our good buddy Joe Cruz, Superior Pipe and Stainless Supply. Pipe fittings, valves, sanitary fittings, food-grade chemical hoses, suction hoses. It's all there for you at 4529 North Mardi Avenue in Town Suite 103. You can always give Joe and Gabe, who works for Joe, a call, 266-7473-266-PIPE. Or more information on the web, superiorpipeusa.com. Or Gabe has a direct email, gabe.sbs@gmail.com. Bring this up each time we talk about Joe's great business, and it's 26th year right now. And also, Joe's been a benefactor at Fresno State for over three decades and allows me the time to tell you how to donate to Fresno State. I'll get to that momentarily, but I do want to bring up, if you're someone from an industrial standpoint that's working around a valve, if you're a plant maintenance person, take or delivery service operator, working around a boiler, maybe at a dairy, anybody who uses a valve for the productivity of their business, if a valve starts to go down, your business and then your bottom line can come crashing down with it. One of the great aspects of Joe's business is not just a family-friendly atmosphere, but the same-day estimates, the same-day service, the ability to analyze your situation and get you back up and running in a big hurry. If it's a minor hit, you won't even notice the glitch at all. If it's already been a major issue for you by the time you contact Joe, he'll set about a plan immediately to get you back up and running as soon as possible. A great guy and a terrific supporter of Fresno State Athletics over the years. And again, he allows me the time every day to tell you how to donate to Fresno State. The best way to go about it right now, go to the main website at GoBulldogs.com. There's a donate link at the top. You can't miss it. It'll take you to different areas of potential donation. BulldogFoundation.org is there. You also have under that header Club Red for former student athletes to get involved. Major giving societies have their link. That would be the Green Bee Society and the Myers Champion Circle. Then under Ways to Give, you have Valley Co-op, the matching funds entity, and Valley Fueled, and the sports clubs where you can give directly to a given sport. So you can specify where you want your money to go. For instance, quarterback club for football, timeout club for men's basketball. Jack Furtick with me normally on Wednesdays to talk basketball. It'll be Thursday this week because the Giants do have our time slot again tomorrow. Jack has said that he'd love to have more members. Everybody on the board would love to see that, for Vance and the entire crew. And he said, call him directly on his cell. Jack's at 559-287-3305 is how you can reach him, or on his email, ferdyjack@AOL.com. There are also links for other sports there as well. For instance, Dugout Club for baseball and other men's and women's sports under Ways to Give. And then finally, the singular word more is there for other information, upcoming events, men's basketball, football tickets, all the issues that you might have with Fresno State in the way of reaching people. That's there for you. And so you can check out the mobile ticketing and everything for your iPhone, for your Android phones. So anything you need in that regard, just click on the More link and you'll be able to check that out as well. Well, we thank Joe Cruz every day, of course, for allowing us the time to tell you how to donate to Fresno State. And also want to remind you that beginning July 1, we will be again the flagship for Fresno State Athletics. We haven't been that since 2019, 2020. But this time it will be a partnership, 143790 and the university with Bulldog Sports Enterprises. So it's Chris, everybody at the station, working with Saul and Garrett and everybody at Fresno State to drive Bulldog Athletics forward. And we thank Joe Cruz, Ed Dunkel, and everybody else for stepping forward as well to try to help out as we put that grassroots effort in place. That is the best way for Fresno State to keep up with the Joneses, never mind everybody across the country in their own very competitive conference that they're going to see in just a few months as the pack gets underway. Anyway, thanks to Joe Cruz, Superior Pipe and Stainless Supply. Thanks to Ed Dunkel, Precision Civil Engineering. And thanks to our friends at Lee's Air Plumbing, Heating, and Roofing. And right now on that Lee's Air hotline, 559-320-1430, it is our de facto co-host, all-around nice guy, despite what I say unfairly about him before he comes up. It is the king of the bark board himself, El Bark Boy, Jackson Moore. Jackson, how you doing?
I'm doing well, Tony. How are you?
I'm doing just fine, Jackson. You and I talked last hour, so you knew it was going to be trouble today, right? You knew immediately. You hung up. You said, uh-oh. The man is evidently under heavy medication. Is that pretty much your take on our conversation in the last hour? Just wondering.
Yeah,
or do I need to be? Or is it that I'm under heavy medication, or you feel I need to be heavily medicated and I'm not? Which one do you think would be more prudent right now? Don't answer that. All right. Okay. Listen, I appreciate you jumping aboard as always, my friend. Okay. Let's get started. Damon immediately wanted to address what we were talking about last week. Damon said, hey, you and Jackson were talking last week that evidently both conferences, meaning the Mountain West and the Pac, have decided to go to their neutral corners. I guess it is kind of like a boxing match, and that they're going to get on with things and just let pragmatism lead the way. And he said, I get that, and I understand what you guys are saying and the fact that Pac has leverage, and that's why Mountain West doesn't want to go to court and the Pac doesn't want to get bogged down because they have a conference that needs to start. And, of course, the Mountain West needs to get on with their lives as well. He said, I get it, but he said, my question is, understanding that it appears it's fait accompli, that everybody's going to stay where they're at right now, and that there will be the settlement and the specified amount of money will be taken out of that fund, if you will, and paid back out so that the schools leave the fair share to the Mountain West, but the rest of it comes to the departing schools. He said, I get that. My question is, if for some reason UNLV and or Air Force doesn't get their money, which is more than the others in the Mountain West, and became free agents, would the Pac take one or both? And Damon in parentheses said, I would like to see Air Force if that's the case. I don't want to see UNLV because they've had two bites at the apple and they've screwed it up. I don't think they deserve a third, but he said, I, Damon, don't have a vote. You're right about that, Damon. Nor do I or Jackson have a vote. So, Jackson, I will turn to you. I think, as you and I have talked before, that it would be bygones. If UNLV was available, I think the conference would take them. I think the conference would love to have Air Force, but I think realistically, if for some reason they don't get their money, they're probably headed off to the American to be there with the other two schools of their brethren, meaning Navy and Army. How do you feel about both of these situations?
Yeah, I think both of these programs have been in play, and that's the reason why the extra money is going to those programs, supposedly. And so this is a big part of the settlement here. Do we find out, does this add a whole nother layer to the process if UNLV and Air Force can't get the money that they promised and opens them up as free agents potentially? And I think the UNLV makes the most sense for the Pac, just a lot of ways if they're available. The schools they wanted on the other end of the country. A lot of them didn't pan out, and there's a lot of exit fee issues in the American Athletic Conference. And if there's a way they can pry out UNLV, a lot closer to home, a team that they've gone for now twice, as mentioned, that would be, I think, just the simplest way to fill in that ninth spot. And I think also Air Force is on that list. If the Rebels said no once again and Air Force was available, they'd probably try that or see if they can keep Air Force West or if Air Force decides to go east in that scenario. Otherwise, again, you're stuck with probably a lot of other Mountain West options that you don't particularly prefer, or you know, you got to go the Texas State route, which was a very small needle to thread. Not very many other programs that seem to be preferable, that you have to look for probably the Conference USA or maybe the Sun Belt, and not a lot of clear options there. So if they could swing UNLV, that would be a nice way to wrap this thing up for the time being. Just won't know until that money is announced to whether the Mountain West is standing firm or if they're going to be in trouble again here.
Well, that's exactly it. And it appears that common sense has finally taken over the room, but that can be a temporary situation. I think we all know that, right? I just know this, Jackson, and that is, as we've talked over and over again, even though when I was a kid, the Pac was the Pac-8. I mean, it was perfectly paired in that it was the two LA schools, SC, UCLA, the two Bay Area schools, Cal and Stanford. Then you had the two in Oregon, with Oregon and Oregon State, and the two in Washington, with Washington and Washington State. That was the Pac the entire time I was a kid. It was that way until they added 9 and 10 with Arizona and Arizona State. That happened late 70s. So the entire time in the 60s, through almost all of the 70s, it was the Pac 8. But the difference was, as we've talked, number one, you had just a singular national TV contract with just one game a week on. So the monies were not there the way they are now. The other thing, and we talked about it over and over again, is that you had a conference at a time when it was really only a 10-game regular season. So you did not have a 12-game regular season schedule. So you didn't have a couple of extra games to have to put on the docket. Now, when you combine inventory issues with the multiplicity of broadcast partners you have, with the fact you have a 12-game season, it does become very onerous right now, Jack, to try to find a lot of non-conference games when you can't spend a lot of money for the guarantee. We were talking about the other day. It would be important for the conference to not only have the balanced schedule of 4-4, but also it means they're pretty well assured they're going to have that extra game every week, even if somebody has a bye week. It really does compel them to find that ninth school in a fairly big hurry, right?
Yeah, it does. And right now, there's just, I don't think, an easy way to go get that ninth school. So if the money in the settlement is such that it opens up UNLV, you know, what a game changer that is for the Pac-12 to get that done. Otherwise, UNLV is locked in through 2031, I believe. And also, some of those exit fees that other schools you're looking at have quite a ways to go. And again, unless Cal or Stanford falls in your lap, let's say, to ditch the ACC at some point, you know, there's just not very many easy yeses that are on the board. So, nine would be great, but. And if it was UNLV, relatively, that would be great for the conference too, but a little bit of a wait and see still.
And as we have discussed, UNLV has a philosophical chasm to deal with. It, in talking to people, again, under the condition of anonymity, that brought this up from the jump about this, it's not new news. You have people in the athletic department at UNLV that are livid that their upper administration, university president, et cetera, did not feel it was necessary to jump to the Pac for some reason, whether it was that $10 million or whatever, that 24%, whatever it's going to ultimately turn out to be. And as you were referencing, UNLV and Air Force are able to take the lion's share as compared to the rest of the holdovers. Whatever the motivation was, and it's probably a combination of things, the feeling at the athletic department was we were being denied the right to compete as at the highest level, not only now but in the future, because our administration wanted to take the shortcut of the direct monies right now, or at least what was promised, and they're evidently more comfortable in the Mountain West, which Pat Hill and I have had this conversation many times on air. You're a basketball playing guy. I used to be when I could walk. That you never want to play on the B court. You want to play on the A court. The only reason you ever want to play on the B court when you're at a gym, when you're playing side to side, is if you win there, you get to the A court. You never want to willingly say, you know what, I want to play in the second tier game. That would be like saying, my goal is to make the AAA part of baseball, but not the major league. Jackson, I think there's a feeling at UNLV that their administration doesn't have the interest of competing at the highest level. That's a good way to tear your athletic department apart. That having been said, unless that money isn't there, I don't see any way that UNLV is going to be a free agent. I don't see it. If the money's not there, maybe, but they're not going to make any move to get out of this. It would only happen if it imploded and fell at their feet, right?
I believe so. It seems like there are some financial issues there, and the opportunity to avoid exit fees and gain money and try to maybe run a lesser conference was something they were trying to do. But if that money is not there, you know, that whole pitch goes out the window. So same kind of vote for Air Force as well, and we'll see if they're going to get enough in the settlement to keep it afloat or not.
So right now, the assumption is that everybody is going to be where they're supposed to be, but you never say never, and we certainly learned that the hard way from 2022 on. The other thing that Damon asked about was whether UNLV, since he made it clear that he does not think they deserve a chance because of the way they behave, if they are at all persona non grata the way San Diego State was in the Big 12, and as you and I have talked on and off the air over the years about this, the answer is no. Damon, to my knowledge, in talking to people that I know, and again, I've talked about some of the involvement I have that's made it difficult for me to say everything that I'd like to simply because I can't betray confidence in that regard. It's wearing a different hat at a different time, and I think everybody understands those kind of issues, and I've tried to make this clear over the air about it. But UNLV, there's no animosity that I know of in the PAC. When I'm talking about the PAC, I'm about Oregon State and Washington State, because they're the ones that are governing this thing right now. It's their conference. That's why, as we've talked, you were able to jettison certain schools in the Mountain West because you were divided. You, Fresno State, et cetera, Colorado State, Boise State, you guys know the gig, San Diego State, Utah State. You were invited in. So you were able to leave that part of the conference behind the Mountain West without creating the kind of hard feelings that university presidents are loath to put at their feet simply because it was the decision made by Oregon State and Washington State to invite people. But I don't think that those two schools, Oregon State and Washington State, have a problem with UNLV the way Brett Yormark, the commissioner of the Big 12, had the problem with San Diego State. The issue with San Diego State was when Yormark wanted Fresno State and San Diego State together. This is after that's what ESPN wanted as well, but Cal and Stanford, before the implosion, jumped in to stop it, as everybody knew they would because they didn't want Fresno State around them. At that point, Yormark, as he came in, thought that was a good idea to pick up Fresno State and San Diego State, and San Diego State, through their university president, continued to play the game with the PAC, feeling they would be invited as a single member to the PAC. I don't think that was ever going to happen, but that's what San Diego State thought. And so Yormark got fed up with the attitude of San Diego State, particularly when, after it became apparent San Diego State wasn't going to go to the traditional PAC, they then started flooding Yormark through agents with calls. And Yormark got to the point that he felt as though the administration at San Diego State could not be trusted. And I mean, there was one time it was brought up in a meeting, and he turned 20 different shades of red just thinking about San Diego State. Okay, that animosity, the my knowledge, Jackson, does not exist between UNLV and the PAC. I think it would be all about business. I know a lot of people don't want UNLV in. I get it. But I think Oregon State and Washington State, as we've talked, would certainly say that is the most viable team, viable school across the board to be that ninth member to fill football in and then be with all the other sports as well. However, they are, as we talk right now, contractually tied if they get that money all the way through, what, 20, 30, or 31, as we've said. God only knows what college sport, particularly football, is going to look like at that point, correct?
Right, and I don't expect there to be hard feelings there either, especially those first four invites were pretty big with the PAC covering a certain portion of those exit fees, but I think it was a little bit fingers crossed after that. Unfortunately, Utah State was able to put together the money to make that move. UNLV didn't want to do it, and they were offered a lot to stay. So I think that is definitely understanding on that second trip around of where teams were at. Also, I think if you're in the PAC, you're not in a position to really be very picky here. You know, if UNLV is available, given the way that they've raise their competitiveness on the football field and the facilities and the market, just checks more boxes than anyone else that's going to be available. And if you can get them, it not only gets you the nine, but it gets you a pretty attractive market too.
Well, we'll see how it plays out. And also keep in mind when we talk about your mark, his timing coming in, take over Bowlesby. It was after SC and UCLA had made the surprising announcement that they were going to the Big Ten, but the 10 schools were still intact at that point. That's why Cal and Stanford had the influence over the situation with the existing contract with ESPN. Yormark was seeing an opportunity. He had no idea that implosion was coming, the one that changed everything. And again, the reason it changed everything is because of the escalator clause that said that up to four P4 schools, if they were to join the Big 12, Fox and more particularly ESPN would have to pay for those schools at $31.8 a year. And that's what changed everything. But Yormark's initial move, Fresno State and San Diego State, was when the PAC still had 10 schools in San Diego State, have the belief that they were going to be invited in. I don't think they thought Fresno State was coming with them. I don't think they cared. But in doing their non-stop drive to the pack, and it was Delatorre doing this, it alienated Yormark to the point that the Aztecs did become persona non grata with the Big 12. That is not the case with UNLV right now in the pack. So we'll see how it plays out. Jackson, other email question. Martine wanted to know on the field, which is nice to talk about right at some point, about the wide receiver room. We have talked about if Martin is the quarterback that people hope he is. He's got the running backs coming back. We know the offensive line has got to be functional all the time and healthy. But the great depth of wide receiver we saw in years gone by, not necessarily there, but is the talent there right now?
Yeah, the receiver spot was a tough one last year because they lost so much, basically the whole room outside of Josiah Freeman. And right. They had a lot of new faces, a lot of young players, a lot of inexperience. And I think probably the majority of the season, they kind of felt like they were undermanned, especially there. Ezekiel Abbott got going and then he got hurt. And there wasn't a whole lot of reinforcement. I mean, they had a lot of options, but outside of Freeman, not a lot of star power per se or reliable targets. And then, like the last two or three games, as it came back, they got Harold Duvall involved a little bit more. Jalen McClain and Jordan Malulu both are doing a little bit more. And I felt like the room was a little bit deeper, a little more reliable. And now you get them all back for another year, basically, almost the entire room back. Josiah Freeman getting that extra year. Just feels like a different story with those same players that, again, of course, the passing game wasn't overly threatening for the Bulldogs for most of the year, but The offense really looked good the last 2 weeks, and the receiver rotation changed a bit there, and they've had all spring to build on that. So hopefully with elevated quarterback play and a more comfortable receiver room, that part of the offense comes together a bit more. I know the offensive line's been talking about being more prepared to pass block a little bit more, or at least giving the staff that option here. So looks like it's coming together. I went into the spring thinking they might hone in a little bit on Freeman, Abbott, Duvall perhaps, but you know, Jordan Malalula did have a really good spring, and there's quite a few other receivers that made their case kind of in that second layer of players. So they might have a tough time keeping the rotation under five or even six if they've got the guys to do it.
We've had the impression in the last year or so, we talked about it, that the playbook hasn't completely opened up for Fresno State yet. Is that the case? We saw what Matt Entz wants to do. It certainly was the game plan, the roadmap throughout the year. But I get the impression, Jackson, and we talked about it, that Fresno State has a lot more to do offensively than they did this last season. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, I'd say so. There's a concerted effort to be more explosive, for sure. That was one area, even when the offense was dashing some opponents and getting the running game going, there's not a lot of huge home run plays coming out of the offense, which in this style of play, you know, if you're playing tight games and good defense, you know, a 70-yard touchdown here could change the game or turn a close one into a two- or three-score lead. So I think that's kind of the focus this offseason. And, of course, a better passing game would open that up. We didn't see a lot of deep shots last year. I don't necessarily think they're going to go in calling more of them automatically. I think it's just kind of an overall effort to be a little more comfortable, a little more versatile, and try to make those plays happen organically. And I'm sure they'll dial up a couple of more if they feel comfortable with it. I think Christian Martin's got a really good deep ball. If Jaden Mandel, he could throw it deep too. And maybe a little more confidence that they can try to put those spots where it's complete or incomplete, where only the offense can catch it, and not worry about kind of the momentum swings. When you just feels like when you have a quarterback that's getting a bit of a reputation for those interceptions, it just hurts more when they happen. And I think it makes you a little more conservative when those numbers add up. So it'd be interesting to see the first few weeks of the season if they can open up and stay aggressive there.
Well, there's no doubt the last two seasons, the season under Skip and last year with Entz, the untimely interception was a huge issue. I mean, it derailed, really, Skip's tenure here, the INTs at a bad time. And even last year, there were times when you had that pick that you just look back and say, okay, if not for that, we're okay. It's something that ball possession, ball security is always paramount, but particularly when you're playing the way that Matt Entz likes to play, you can't afford the mistakes. And from what everybody said, Martin should be a guy polished enough to avoid that. Whether the Bulldogs ever become, they're not going to become Air Coryell out there. We know that. Okay. But I think they wanted to diversify a little bit more. James also wanted to know something we talked about a few weeks ago coming out of spring. Is this a long-term problem with Brandon Ramirez, or is he okay? Do you know?
You know, we haven't heard officially. Didn't look good coming out of spring. I haven't heard for sure if they're expecting him to miss some time here in the fall or not, but did look like it could be pretty significant. I wouldn't be surprised, but haven't gotten that official confirmation yet. And definitely changes the math in the running back room. You were bringing back three of the five you saw last year, and I guess if you only can have two, you would like it to be Bryson Donaldson and Rayshon Speedy Luke. The two of them could probably carry the offense themselves in that running game if they can stay healthy. But that's exactly it. It was really nice late in the year when some guys got run down a little bit to have more options, and maybe Julius Gillett can be that guy if Brandon Ramirez can't go.
Both guys, Donaldson and Luke, are we going to see more opportunities? I mean, naturally the defense has something to say about this, but by design, are we going to see more opportunities to get Luke in space this year And is Donaldson just going to get more carries, in your opinion, than he did last year? And I know he had the physical issues as well.
I would think so. I think both of them had to deal with some things physically. And Luke, especially, you look at it, you think about last year and the explosive ability and the big plays that he had, but you look at the amount of touches, it wasn't a large amount. Luke only had double-digit carries in 5 games out of the 13. So you just imagine he's going to get the ball more, that's going to be the plan. And Donaldson, maybe if without Arsenault, without Elijah Gilliam, potentially without Ben Ramirez, that Donaldson might have to carry more of that load, which probably isn't the worst thing in the world. You know, if he's getting 15 touches or so a game, maybe he gets a little more comfortable and hits a different gear that didn't quite get there last season. I think you want to go in getting those two guys the ball as much as possible. The trouble part is that you just didn't have much of them in the spring, so you didn't really get to tinker with that or expand on it. In the running back unit, it basically became developing the back end of the group. So they're going to have to figure that out in August pretty quickly, I'd say.
We were discussing a few weeks back, you know, certainly wasn't the intent, but by sharing the load and then having, because of injury, probably more limited carries than you would have expected. In this day and age of NIL and transfer portal, it actually helped inadvertently solidify the return of those players. I'm not saying that anybody was going anywhere, particularly when Ramirez and Donaldson are local guys, and Luke does have those local ties, though he's from SoCal. But it didn't hurt, Jackson, that nobody had the kind of breakout year. I mean, you want them to be very successful, but I guess there is an upside to sharing the load. If nobody stands out, it makes them a little less attractive to the poachers across the country. Well, the real poaching, not the ridiculous stuff that we saw Navarez try to claim with the Pack, right?
Definitely. When you heard a big-time smash-mouth style running game was coming in Fresno State, you did figure you might have a player, whether it was Donaldson, building on what he had already done at the end of his freshman year, might have big numbers, or maybe the new guy, Rayshon Speedy Luke, would have big numbers. And they both had solid seasons, but again, not those massive numbers that would really attract eyeballs. I do think Luke, you know, his speed, those big plays, the playmaking ability, you don't have to put a whole lot of those on film for teams to want to come get you. And right, that might have happened. Coach Ince talked about the loyalty of Fresno State bringing him in when he was injured and wasn't going to get maybe that full spring last year to really prove himself. They brought him in anyway and stayed committed. They felt like that helped him stay. Also, Luke was coming off of some things injury-wise and didn't compete much this spring either, which isn't a great spot to be in. Well, if the team's going to pay you, I guess it doesn't matter if you're healthy or not. But if you want to play and you go somewhere, Power Conference school, and you miss the spring, it might be tough to get the type of reps that you're used to. So I think it was a good fit all around, and the staff has been able to put quite a few of those stories together on this roster to keep guys around.
As you mentioned to me, the football team, both in coaching staff and in players, did not take the kind of hit that we saw in basketball and other sports, not only here but across the country. It was in that regard a very fortunate season for Fresno State, and we'll see what the success on the field this year might lead to. I mean, if you have a great, great year at a mid-major or group of six level, you have to expect that attrition. So far, so good. We'll see how it plays out. We obviously look forward to September 4 when USC and Fresno State kick it off the Coliseum on that Friday night. All right, last email from Dom for today. I mean, it's not the last email from Dom, the last one we're going to talk about today. Dom has a lot of emails that he said he had. Okay. But he said, I know that we're going to see the national selection of games pop up, I think, tomorrow is the planned time. And he said, do we have viable games on each network? And is USA Network really a sports network anymore? Jackson, let's start with the reality of having the multiplicity of broadcast partners and a paucity of games, because at most you can have three conference games going on during the conference season. If you have seven teams, the most you can have are three conference games for sure. And then if the team that's not playing of the others, I'm talking about of the eight, if you're in a situation where you're playing the eighth game in conference and you don't have people out of conference, you're okay. You have four. Otherwise, if you have weeks where you have non-conference games because you're staggering your conference games along for television, meaning you're stretching out your conference season over the 12 weeks, you're in a situation, Jackson, where you're going to have home games because you're not going to have the road rights. So I'll ask you, are we going to see four conference games every single week? Are they going to cluster it that way, in your opinion?
I would think so. I think, at least in Fresno State's case here, especially October, there's some compelling matchups to have some of those big marquee games. I think Boise State at home at San Diego State back-to-back is a really important stretch, not only for Fresno State, but the conference in general. So curious to see which networks those games land on. And I believe Washington State and Oregon State are both games that could be flexed to Friday. So another important one to watch as those TV announcements come up. And also the conference as a whole, how they decide to do that.
And that's why when you mentioned that, and that is the case, you can look at the schedule now and say, okay, we're set. You're going to be four conference games every week. We'll see what TV does with it. And keep in mind, even if games are moved because of a matchup, whatever, as long as that's a home game, even if it's against a non-conference opponent, that belongs to your conference. So we'll see how it plays out. And the one thing Dama asked about USA Network, Jackson, initially, before ESPN even started, USA Network at the time, USA Network, by the way, one of the most popular cable/satellite offerings out there, but it's more of a general interest kind of thing with Law and Order and things like that and a lot of movies. But it was a preeminent sports outlet for a number of years, and even recently, before Peacock popped up and before we saw NBC Sports Network, which was actually put up on the blocks like a car in the garage, and now has been brought back because of NBC's commitment to sports all year long now on Sunday nights. Before that, you had USA Network being very, very prominent with a lot of sports. When they first started back in the 70s, they had baseball on before ESPN even got underway. Matter of fact, the original announcer for USA was United Artists, UA Columbia, I think is what it was called, an offshoot of Madison Square Garden Network back in the late 70s, like 77 to 79. Our pal Monty Moore, the longtime voice of the Oakland A's, remember when they were in Oakland? And Monty's been in Porterville for a long, long time. He was the initial national announcer. And the other thing is, one of the great moments in sport history, Dom, happened on USA Network back in 1979 during the Stanley Cup playoffs. It was the Canadians and the Rangers were the Eastern Conference final. If they were calling it Eastern Conference, forgotten. They used to have the Wales Conference and whatever. It was what now is the equivalent of the Eastern Conference final. And they brought the legendary Dan Kelly in, who was the longtime outstanding voice in the St. Louis Blues on radio and television. They brought him in for USA Network Television, and they paired him with another legend, Bobby Orr, who had retired fairly recently with the Boston Bruins, but Bobby Orr had never been behind the mic before. And they're live on USA Network in the spring of 1979, and there's a goal scored early on when on the two-on-one, the goaltender stayed back too much in the crease for Bobby Orr's liking. He felt that the goalie should have come out and cut off the angle, and he didn't do it. And live on network TV, the description by Bobby Orr was, "Dan, he's hiding in the bleeping net," and he didn't use bleeping. And he said it once, and he said it again. "Dan, like I said, he's hiding in the bleeping net." Needless to say, Jackson, that was Bobby Orr's first and, I believe, last night. as the sole color analyst. He didn't realize, I guess, that F-bombs weren't allowed on national TV. I don't think we're going to see that from USA Network. Though, would you like to see that from USA Network? Would that add more color to the broadcast?
Maybe somewhere, but I don't know if I want to hear it on the President's Day games.
Well, there was a game played at the Coliseum in 2005 where I think we all should have been allowed in the fourth quarter to use bleeping whatever we wanted. All right? That's all I'm telling you. Like, oh, no, another bleeping interception. Or, oh, no, didn't bleeping Reggie Bush step out of bounds. Any other one you want to fill in from that particular night, Jack?
I think this one's covering it.
Okay. Well, all I know is this. Bobby Orr may have been crude. He did happen to be right. The goaltender was, Jackson, hiding in the bleeping net. I'm telling you right now, he got that part right. And I guess that's all that counts. All right. Anything going on the board, and what is the special right now that people can take a look at?
Yes, it's currently 50% off a year to join still. We'll have that for a few more days here. Also $1 for your first month to try it out. And the Bulldogs are getting into it here with the summertime. Official visit, the first big weekend is coming up this weekend, and we'll have four of those. And also camp season will begin on Sunday. They'll be hosted junior college recruits out there, and we'll be all over it. So I hope people head over to markboard.com and check it out.
Well worth it. It's a great value for the insider board. And all I can tell you, Jackson, is I bleep and appreciate your bleeping presence on the air. You want to toss anything in as I let you go?
Thank you.
All right. And Jackson is not hiding in the bleeping net. I know that for sure. I'll talk to you on Friday, my friend. Take care. I'll see you.
All right. You too, Tony. Thank you.
One never knows. I didn't think Bobby Orr would be front and center today, but that's where the emails led us. And bless you, Bobby. All right, we'll take a break, come back, talk about the schedule, and hand it off. Philly has three great hours for you. And then the sizzling hot. Get out of their way before they run you over. San Francisco Giants ready to go against the D-backs, who have beaten the Giants like a rented mule the last 2 weeks. We'll see what happens tonight. I'll go over the schedule after this as the Bulldog Hour continues on this Tuesday on Central Valley Sports Leader, 1430 ESPN. Everybody, welcome back. 2:55. Just a few minutes ago, handed off to Phil's great show. Behind the Bench, the full 3 hours, and the Giants coming up on 1430 and Game 5 of the Western Conference Finals. May very well be the decider tonight in OKC. That game will be over on 790. Tell you all about the schedule right now, courtesy of Ed Dunkel and his great business, Precision Civil Engineering. Planning, land surveying, civil engineering, landscape architecture, construction management. It's all there under one roof. More information, 449-4500 or precisioneng.net. Commend Ed for the great fundraising he does for his alma mater, Fresno State, through the Lyles College of Engineering, where the goal, as always, is to unify athletics and academics to provide more funding resources to students. It's worked beautifully over the years, and a lot of those grads had a right to work at Precision Civil Engineering, one of the best civil engineering companies you're going to find anywhere in the country. Thank you, Ed, for everything he does for his alma mater and for us here at the station. Again, specificity, the Giants, 6:15, the pre tonight, 6:45, first pitch against Arizona. The D-backs swept the Giants in Phoenix last week. D-backs won yesterday afternoon. Night game tonight, afternoon game tomorrow. That will take us off the air. Phil will be coming up as soon as the game wraps up tomorrow, but it will preempt us tomorrow. The NBA mentioned over on 790 tonight. That'll be a 5 o'clock start. The winner going to have a 3-2 lead. And I think logic would tell you if San Antonio is able to go into OKC, and OKC is a bit beat up right now, if they're able to win, I think the Spurs will win the series. If OKC wins tonight, I think it's asking too much for the Spurs to win a game 7 on the road in Oklahoma City, no matter what would happen in game 6 in San Antonio. So it's my way of saying, who wins tonight will probably win the series, and they'll wait for, or the Knicks will wait for the winner The Knicks know they will not have home court advantage. And you know this, ABC is absolutely deliriously happy that they've got the Knicks, and they know it'll either be the defending champion Thunder or the most compelling guy in the NBA, Victor Wembanyama, and the Spurs. So they can't lose in this thing, though NBC is the one who has the rest of the Western Conference Finals. But ABC and ESPN, ABC, of course, specifically, will have the big prize beginning on June 3rd, which is the NBA Finals, with the starving number one market, New York Knicks, trying to win the title for the first time since 1973 and trying from 1999 to now to get an opportunity to actually get it done, which they will, because that's the last time they were in the NBA Finals. That was 1999. Anyway, stay tuned for all of that, and we'll have coverage throughout the NBA Finals for you on 790 and 1430. Reminders about shows. Paul Minnors has his fine show, Central Valley Sports Report, 10 a.m. to noon on Saturdays from First String Sports. Phil is with you 3 to 6 Monday through Friday. Of course, that moves around because of play-by-play, including Thursdays at Fashion Furniture, our great friend Rod Abedikian. Memorial Day sale still underway there. I'll pass him across from River Park. Best furniture on the planet, nothing like it in all of California. The great conversation of Phil's show. Always give him a call on the Lee's Air hotline, 559-320-1430. Some good eats as well when Phil is there. We're with you at 2 o'clock each and every weekday. You can reach me, tdad1, at att.net. First names are fine. For the station, 1430 ESPNFresno.com. Get the live links podcast there and check out everything. Get the app. Makes it a lot easier to listen. Thanks again to Ed Dunkel, Precision Civil Engineering, Joe Cruz, Superior Pipe Stainless Supply, our friends at Lee's Air Plumbing, Heating, and Roofing. Thanks, of course, to our de facto co-host, Jackson Moore. And thanks, as always, to Jorge. He'll be with Phil momentarily. Then the Giants and the NBA over on 790. We'll see you with Jack Furtick on Thursday on KFIG Fresno.